Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the Savior's name, even our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we welcome you to the continuation of our Savior's sermon and his prophetic discourse from Matthew 24. What will yet happen upon the earth before our Lord's return to set up his kingdom? This can only be accurately determined by listening and by believing the Word of God. And my beloved radio friend, do you have a genuine and a sincere desire to be sure of your own personal future and to know exactly what is before us and what the Word of God declares will take place? God alone can prophesy, and the best that any man could ever do is to try and teach prophecy. But God himself tells it. He plainly foretells the future. And in fact, if you will follow his word, you will find what can be your own eternal future. God's word will even tell you whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. Let me give you the proof from one scripture. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3 and verse 36. 'Tis very simple and clear and plain. God says if you believe upon his Son, you have everlasting life. Heaven will be your future. If not, sad, you're headed for the other place. But you do not need to keep on that road. If you are, why not come to the Savior now? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But we want to see what the Savior has to say will happen upon the earth when that abomination, that idol image of worship, will be standing in that rebuilt temple of the future at Jerusalem, as we have read in Matthew 24 in verse 15. Yea, more than that, not only do we want to know what will happen, but what will the Jews in that coming day be told to do when it actually takes place? Now let me read verses 16 and through verse 20 together from Matthew 24. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now these words which the Lord speaks concerning those who will be upon the earth reveal to us very clearly they are not church saints, for they live in Judea, and they are in Judea being asked to flee from Judea to the mountains. Now the urgency of their flight is certainly indicated by the Savior's words. They're not even to take time to pack their belongings, nor even to gather their goods together from the house, or even to go back to the house for their clothes if they're in the field. And the very difficulties that will be involved on the behalf of the mothers with the young babes is also declared. And neither would it be very convenient to flee if it was in winter time, and even on the Sabbath day. For the latter, we know, to an Orthodox Israeli would mean that he would not wish to violate the law of Moses, which limits a Jew to traveling no more than 7 or 8 miles on a Sabbath day's journey. These words of warning will be of great importance to the Jewish, God-fearing remnant who will be living in those days in the land of Israel. And it is certainly obvious from the Savior's language, those dear earthly people of God will be in the very center of those great days of trouble and trial in the land of Israel. My beloved radio friend, I want you to stop and consider something regarding all of this. Why is it that after many long centuries, that it has only been since 1948, we have seen the establishment of some form of a Jewish nation, as a nation? It has taken place in the lifetime of many of us. Is it not then significant, and should it not be seriously recognized and regarded, that this has come to pass before the promised return of Christ to the earth? Is it not to be realized that in the divine purposes of Jehovah, on the behalf of his people Israel, for the greater part, they are right where God wants them to be, in their land, right in the very place of their prospective period and time of their greatest trouble. Not yet is that nation under God's protective care in a restored spiritual relationship to him. Their present state is still one of general unbelief, awaiting that day of Jacob's trouble, as Jeremiah the prophet calls it, before their final restoration in heart to Jehovah. The faithful Jew who will be seeking to carry out the law of Moses, looking and waiting for his or her Messiah, their true deliverer, will be in the minority in that coming day, and they are even now. May I give the incident that happened to me many years ago while standing right at the old wall of the old city in Jerusalem on a Sabbath day, talking to a fine young Jewish lawyer who had just informed me that he was very much interested to bring his wife and his family, young children, to Israel and have a share in the building of that nation which was going on. In talking with him, I asked him a question kindly, saying, "Tell me, what proportion of your people are Orthodox Jews who seek to carry out the scriptures of Moses?" He thought for just a moment and questioned me relative to the meaning of the word Orthodox. And I knew what he meant. I said, "We have the same trouble in Christianity." But then he ultimately answered my question by saying, "According to my own Orthodox belief and my views and experience, I would say there are not more than 20% of our people Orthodox today." Now you may raise the question, well, what about the rest of them? Well, it is very interesting to note something that the prophet Zechariah has written, referring to that coming day of Israel's great trouble, when he declares, and I quote, "Two parts of the land therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried," and so on. I commend the reading of Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9 together, where you will find it recorded. It seems to be a very literal, definite prophecy that two-thirds of the people of Israel in that coming day will be cut off because of their apostasy. But shall we not say, very much like the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Hebrew lads who were cast in the midst of a fiery, burning furnace, will not the nation of Israel be tested in the day of Jacob's trouble? And as those three Hebrew young men, so typical of the godly remnant, going through the furnace of affliction, they did so for the glory of Jehovah their God, and some of God's earthly ones will come through this one. To such godly Jews in the coming day of that trial, will it not be important to listen to the words of warning that are spoken by the Lord Jesus, the Son of God? Listen to the words. "When ye therefore shall see," for may I say very frankly, they will see this. "'Twill be before their eyes, placed upon them, unwillingly, without question or doubt, but by the beast and the false prophet of that coming day. they shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. And what does the Lord tell them? Flee, for the worst of all troubles that ever have been known and will ever be known will begin. I'd like to raise a question to my listening friends. Are you really awake spiritually? Are you mentally awake as to what is going to take place on the earth? Are you spiritually alert to the things that are yet to be? For may I state the horizon of imminent danger, with its darkest shadows of coming worldwide catastrophes and judgment? Should it not strike a note of alarm in your own soul as well as in mine, as we listen to the words of the Lord Jesus? But particularly if you are without Christ as your Savior, the gathering storm clouds of judgment, and that greatest period of earthly trouble in this godless world, in this sin-loving earth, this Christ-rejecting majority, and even hatred and rebellion against the Word of God, upon it all is soon to break in this divine displeasure and judgment, God's mighty wrath upon the whole scene. Now, beloved, let me say very frankly, where can you go? To whom and to what can you flee for shelter and safety and the salvation of your precious soul to be saved from the doom that rightly awaits and righteously will be visited upon the godless scene of earth? There's only one who can deliver you from that coming wrath. 'Tis the Lord Jesus Christ who today offers himself to be your Savior before he comes to be your judge. My beloved friend, why not join the ranks by believing upon the Lord Jesus, the ranks of those who have turned to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, our deliverer from the wrath to come. My beloved, we beg of you to flee from the wrath to come, but you can only flee to one person. It's not the church, it's not the preacher, 'tis not anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God grant someone will come to the Savior now. Father, honor thy word, sanctify its truth, convict souls and save them. For our Lord's glory we pray. Amen.